Welcome to Finding Your Voice. I am your host, Per Bristow. I'm the creator of The Sing With Freedom, The Singing Zone, Speak With Freedom, Perform With Freedom, Peak Performance Mastery Training Programs, and other goodies. And here we are going to go deep into areas of voice, expression, communication, performance, releasing fears. Who are we really? How can we release what we are truly capable of in life? Get ready for some powerful conversations with some really fascinating people from all around the world. Hi and welcome. So now I am here with John Gay, and I'm going to talk about some, well, we are going to talk about some really interesting things. So first of all, welcome, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
Super glad you're here. So let me ask you the first question. For how long have you been out of prison?
Going on 3 years.
And for how long?
January of 2017.
And for how long were you in prison?
I was locked up for 5 years and 3 months. And I'm still on supervision until next year.
Okay, right. So now, having set the stage here, you sing all the time. And... Well, let's go back a little bit. Now, we don't have to tell the entire story and how it happened that you ended up in prison. But if you want to share just a little bit, you may, but you don't have to. But we really want to find out with what happened to you once you got into prison. Because that's really interesting. I think it's going to be helpful and inspiring for people. So where do we start, John?
Right. I was singing a little bit before I got locked up. And then in 2011, I got a 9-year sentence for marijuana here in Wisconsin. And then once I got locked up, I just in time was able to get a guitar and even talked the warden into letting me have this little storage closet to practice in. And I then spent, you know, all day in there, every day, and wrote a ton of music. And
so wait a minute. So you're in a storage closet.
Yes.
You can't be anywhere else and play.
Well, right. So I was on a barracks unit with 150 other guys, and it really wasn't allowed for me to play in that kind of open air housing there, because people would argue it was some kind of security issue.
Right.
And sometimes we were allowed to play on the patio, but they would overlook the rules. But technically we weren't supposed to play, although we were allowed to have a guitar. Okay. And so it took some years to petition to get a space where we could play on the unit.
Okay.
And we finally got it, and then I lived in there. It was a total blessing.
Really? And what was what was the feeling? What were you experiencing then in that storage space?
It was just, prison, it's just this majorly contemplative time, you pace back and forth and you think about how you ended up in prison and, what happened and what you do different. And, I went full on for Jesus Christ at that time, too. So I was reading the Bible and studying that and on the worship team and the chapel and stuff. And I was just thinking about life and what really matters. I took a few theater classes, and they always said the scene has to be about life and death. And so then in prison, that's what I thought about, is life and death, but not just like in this life, but eternally, So the stakes were heightened, and, you just sit there and you think and you write and you meditate and pray and play guitar and sing, And that came a bunch of songs. I was actually pacing back and forth on this in this storage room and scuffing up the floor, which was concrete.
Okay.
And, I was like, man, I'm wearing a groove in this concrete floor, and just thinking about what happened before I got in here and what I would do differently and practicing to get to a point where when I got out, I could make a go of it as a musician. And out of that came the first song that I recorded after I got out, Concrete Floor.
So that's interesting. So were you envisioning the future then?
Absolutely. Yeah. My goal was to get my chops in shape to make a go of it as a musician once I got out.
Right. And now you are.
Yes. Yes. Glory to God.
Yep. That's interesting. Now, you said some interesting things here before we started recording this. We chatted a little bit. Because we're talking about what is this thing about voice, finding our voice, releasing our voice, expressing ourselves. And you said something very interesting there about which voice. Talk about that.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, before I got locked up, and maybe for a lot of people, they have this, you know, sort of dog-eared dream to be a singer or a musician or artist or whatever their calling is, whatever it is that they do that doesn't feel like work to them, you know, what they want to be doing if they weren't having to do something else. And for me, that was music. And, you know, but I was listening to the voices of people saying, well, you can't be a musician. You have to get a real job, you know. And, you know, a lot of years I was subject to that. And, but once I got locked up, I just let all that go because suddenly, you know, society, it matters as much. And, you know, you kind of feel like you're forgotten. And so then I just forgot all of that voice. And, you know, I wanted to get out of my own way, talking myself out of being a musician. And so then, you know, once I got out and I took your course and, you know, I was like, you know what, man, if God was my vocal cord, then I before was the compensatory muscle that was just in the way, preventing me from going for it to be a singer.
Yes.
And so then, you know, my life work after that became, you know, process of just getting myself out of the way so that, you know, I could, I guess, find my voice, if you will. But really just allow myself, release that, you know, whatever was holding me back or just give myself permission to just do it. And then it was a matter of working. And when you're working, when you're in that place, doing it, walking it out, then the inspiration and everything just flows then.
Yeah, this is really, really fascinating. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take this in now because you're mentioning, I mean, you're using a couple of my favorite words there as far as release, giving permission. And what are we releasing? Well, the restrictions, when we talk about voice also, yes, we want to train how to release the compensatory muscles that tend to engage in making sound that we really don't want to engage. But it's more profound than that because it is, like you said, releasing all these voices that are telling us what we should or shouldn't do. And it's so interesting that when you then come into a situation where suddenly something happens to you and I guess you don't feel those expectations on you anymore because now you're at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's like, how interesting. So then we could argue, what kind of prison are we creating for ourselves? We who think we are free, and my programs are about freedom, right? Sing with freedom, speak with freedom, perform with freedom. It's about how do we experience greater freedom in our lives. And that is not necessarily being locked, you know, the not being locked in to a confined space, but are we being locked in what's going on within us, right? All these the judgments we make about ourselves, the expectations we think we have, what we should or shouldn't do, the beliefs of what we can or cannot do, etc., the fears that we all live with. So if we talk about the word fear here, once you were in there, the level of fear that you experienced then, because you, I don't know, how is that? What happens when you're in there? I haven't been in that situation.
Well, I mean, you know, spiritually speaking, I locked myself up. I put myself in prison before I even got locked up. And so then when I got locked up, ironically, I was more free in prison. When I was, you know, singing and expressing myself, then I was out in the world doing what the world said I should do, you know, a regular job. And then I was growing weed, but I mean, I was still not really free because I wasn't doing what, you know, I was really called to do. And so then, you know, that was all taken away basically. And I was just more free. And a lot of it was spiritual too. You know, I was reading the Bible and reading absolute true things and getting my own ego out of the way enough so that I could be free to just do what I was called to be doing, which for me was to be a singer and just walk with Christ, you know. But it is ironic because it took being in prison to find that release, find that freedom. Now, obviously, you know, I don't recommend it.
No, I don't right. And
prison. I don't have to go to prison to experience that.
Exactly. You know? And that's why we hope that you could potentially be a role model for that. And I know we talked about the word role model and you said that's like high expectations. Again, I'm supposed to be a role model now. No, you don't have to feel that that's what your calling is. But is it also possible that what you were doing before they got into trouble, that got you into trouble, was also perhaps a little bit of a protest against this conventional thing of right or wrong and what you're supposed to be and all this kind of stuff, right? You were perhaps, in a sense, seeking that kind of, you don't want to follow that, the path that you felt that was restricting you.
Right, right. So, yeah, there was a certain rebellion against what the world said I should be doing in you know, just what got me in trouble. And so then it wasn't a super big stretch to say, well, it actually felt the same, weirdly, that people said, well, you can't be a musician, you know, even once I got out. And it felt, you know, just it felt the same way, weirdly, to do music, even though it's legal, because so many people said you can't do that. And it was the inmates, you know, who were encouraging me more than I got encouraged when I was out there. But, you know, people just need to go for it, really.
Yeah. You
know, you have to go for it and do what feels like not work to you. And yes. Then, you know, in the process of being at work at that thing that you're creating, whatever it is, you know, a lot of the people viewing this might be singers. When you're in that place, when you're working and practicing and training, then all that inspiration and confidence and revelation of what your voice is will come to you just in doing the work.
Yes. So fantastic. So that's interesting that you say that now that you are expressing yourself and you're going for it, it's still a little bit of that being a rebel. And let's face it, we're all rebels. Every artist is a rebel. Every entrepreneur is a rebel. We're trying to do something that hasn't been done before. And often we're doing things that people tell us not to do. So you know, that's to be nothing wrong with that. That's to be applauded. And then how successful we become, how much money, income, all that kind of stuff, that becomes about marketing and how we're able to present our products and all that kind of stuff, right? That's more skill sets. But the fact that you are there expressing and doing your thing that you love to do, you're writing this song, you're singing this song, you're connecting with an audience when you're out there, and hopefully you feel that tremendous joy from connecting right. with people when you are performing. How do you like that?
Well, it's a huge blessing, you know, to have people come up and be moved emotionally by a song or be motivated to just release the barriers that they have for their own selves and their own lives.
So how's that compared to playing your guitar by yourself in that closet thing?
Oh, it's a totally different thing. But, you know, the closet had its place, you know,
yes.
because, you know, a lot of people like to say, oh, the lazy, or this isn't fair to say lazy, but there's people who want to be a musician or want to do something in life and they're not doing it. And so then they say, well, that person was just born good.
Yes.
Born with the talent.
Sure.
You know? That's not actually true at all. What you're born with is the willingness to the patience to do the tedious, repetitive work of getting good. And that's what happened in the closet and happens here still. And I have a room where I practice and I'm not performing, you know, I'm
yes.
practicing. So there's a place for that. And that's an essential part of it.
I love that you say that.
Is in the affecting people.
That absolutely. Oh, this is so good. Listen to this, everybody, because this is so important. Yes, artists, people, we want to be up there, and we're going to get we want the standing ovations. We're going to get the applause. We want to get all that stuff, but we have to be good at being by ourselves. That
yeah.
is where we create. That is where we develop our skills. That is when we train and. It is so important to be able to be by ourselves. So you're saying that you actually got really good training being by yourself
yeah.
and practicing.
Yeah.
You know, we could call it discipline, but there's more, it's not just discipline. Discipline is not it. It's actually a joy and love for wanting to explore and discover. And that's what practice and training is all about. So now you mentioned so how did you find me then in the first place?
On Facebook.
Facebook.
Your Facebook advertising.
But for
works.
What reason, though? Because you said you had a voice problem.
Oh, well, yeah. I started seeking or was interested in vocal lessons because that first year I was out, was trying to, specifically one day I was playing in a park, just busking for tips. And, you know, I played like for 4 or 5 hours and no amplification. And I was really using a lot of tension now, I realize, to sing. And so afterward, especially the next day or two, I had a very acute pain in my, like, especially on the right side of my neck. And then it was so painful that I gave to it when I would try to sing then in the coming days and actually couldn't really sing. I was pitchy because it hurt and I couldn't sing as much really. It wasn't like a hoarseness, but it was a pain.
Hmm.
And, you know, I actually went to a doctor. They put a scope down my throat and they said, well, you have an asymmetry to your vocal cords. And they showed me, and I was on this camera. Actually, I saw them go down to my vocal cords. And he said, sing an E for me. And I went, I can't remember if I can do it exactly the way I did, but I went, E. You know, it was a real hard, kind of intense E. You know, it was like a Kermit the Frog kind of E.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I can't even see your vocal cords. Those muscles above it have closed completely off. And he said, I can't even see them. And so they were talking about therapy. And it was right at that exact time that I noticed your program online. So that all happened like at that same moment. And so then when you were talking about the compensatory muscles, I thought about that image on the camera where the scope couldn't even, where my muscles closed off. They couldn't even see my vocal cords. And so, you know, I realized that that's what I was doing. I was just singing with tension and just causing myself harm, actually. And so, you know, I I hooked up with your program and started trying to release that. And, you know, it's still a training that I do, you know, every day to try to make sure, and it gets better and better as time goes on, you know. But I've, you know, I sometimes sing 8-10 hours a day, though, now. And I just keep trucking, you know, it's totally doable. I don't know if I got off the topic of your question or not, but that what prompted me was the pain in my neck and the inability to sing on pitch as well as I wanted to. And, you know, I was just, my technique was bad and it was causing my voice harm.
So you're saying now you can sing 8-10 hours?
Yeah. There have been days when I did 3 gigs, 2 3-hour gigs and a 4-hour gig. I've sung, performed for 10 hours at a time in a day before. Often do doubles. Yeah.
That's crazy, but that's impressive. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And what has made that happen then, would you think?
Well, the training. Really, I mean, just doing the work. Yeah. And so then doing it properly with those compensatory muscles, I guess, is what's happening, letting go more, then the voice can actually come out properly, and it's in pitch, and it's the way you want it to be. It's what you have in your head. The voice that you envision yourself making is actually being conveyed then. And, you know, I'm sure just sheer muscles were built up too, though. I mean, it's just brute muscle. I'm sure. But I think more importantly, the compensatory muscles aren't getting in the way. And so now I can sing 10 hours and then play another set the next day. You know, there was this, sometimes I'll play, 6 to 7 sets in a 3-day, 4-day period, you know. And
how does that feel emotionally, being able to do that?
It's wonderful, you know, because of where I came from, you know, where I sang one day and was shut down for the rest of the week. Now I can sing for a whole week and just keep going.
That's amazing.
But people are super encouraging after hearing me sing. They're like, this is awesome. They're putting money in my tip jar and booking me for additional dates. And it's really encouraging.
Wonderful. Congratulations. And let me say congratulations also for being a person. We talked about that earlier also, that you're not into the talent stuff, but you actually do the work. And that I applaud you for. And if you discovered doing that in the closet, even though that you developed some habits then that weren't helpful, you still developed that mindset that you want to learn. So here you are now coming out, you want to sing, and then you want to learn. That, I think, is brilliant. And that you're actually doing the work. Because like you say, there's no magic thing that has, you did this exercise and then suddenly you can sing for 8 hours. That's not how it works. You practice, you develop. So that's, thank you for doing that. Thank you for being someone who truly engages in whatever you do, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, yes. And how sad it would be then if you only could sing half an hour, right? Or if you had to rest for 4 days before you could have another gig, and you have to say no to gigs, and you you go up on stage being scared that, oh, I don't know if my voice is going to hold up, and I need to stay away from that song because it's too high for me, and that kind of stuff, right? Because we want you, John. We want you on stage. They want you. Full you, the full version of you, not the restricted you.
Right, the me that knows that this is going to be a great show and the people are going to connect and,
Yes, that's how you come alive. All right, so I really appreciate this. This has been a great conversation. I hope this is inspiring for people. So if someone is feeling also that pressure of, you know, it could be family, our beliefs, wherever it comes from, right? This idea I should be something and I'm not, and then I don't feel that I'm good enough, which is probably, our greatest fear, all of us. We yeah. tend to feel that I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. Doesn't matter how good we are, we still feel that way, right?
Yeah, I feel
that like pressure. It. And then the tendency is then that we want to overcompensate by rebelling and doing stuff. And maybe we start doing things then that are not so productive, so helpful in the long run. What would you say to that person?
I would say just let go of ever thinking that your stuff is going to be that great, first of all, because you're always developing, you're always growing, and realize that if you say, well, I'm not good enough to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing, say it's a musician, then you're not going to practice. Then you're not going to practice, then you're surely not going to be good enough. Mm. Don't worry about being good enough. Just do the work. Do what you like to do or what doesn't feel like work to you. And keep doing it. And in time, you'll get better. You'll start out with something that is really hard and awkward and frustrating. And then you work on that over and over and over till that hard thing becomes easy. Mm. And then you start a new hard thing until that becomes easy. You know, that's the process. That's what happens. And then before you know it, you'll look back and 3 years have gone by and you went from, being in a storage room closet in a prison unit to, playing in front of crowds of people and getting invited back and it feels really good.
Fantastic.
What's supposed to do? You found your voice.
Thank you so much.
Listen to people who say you're not good enough, who say you can't do that.
That's right.
Because they're the people who, I don't know. I don't want to say anything about those people, but just don't believe them and put in the work and then see what happens.
Exactly. Brilliant. Yes. I love skill development. So therefore, if this feeling of I'm not good enough comes in, good enough for what?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? There are certain many things I'm not good enough for. If I want to be good enough for that, then I practice and become better. That's how it is. But we can't measure what's good or bad. What we are interested in is improving. So, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, don't listen to that. Try to sound worse. Sound bad. Be ugly.
Hey, that was cool.
If you feel that, lean into it. Go in that direction. If something you're writing about or practicing feels scary, go even harder at that then. Just go for it. Don't worry about sounding good.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, John. This is awesome. We'll have some links here so people can go and check you out, check your gigs, check your music online. And I wish you all the best here. It's going to be exciting. Hopefully I'll see you live one day maybe.
Yes, that would be a total blessing.
All right. Well, take care. Thank you so much.
God bless.
Bye.